Welcome to the Sacred Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore the many facets of feminine power and why it is so important for women and for men to step into this power in our world at this time. This is Emmy from Feminine Revered, and my magical guest for today is Cheryl Pallant. Cheryl is an award-winning writer, poet, Reiki and healing touch practitioner, somatic coach, dancer, meditator, and teacher. She's written several books, most recently Ecosomatics, Embodiment Practices for a World in Search of Healing. Previous nonfiction books include Writing and the Body in Motion and Contact Improvisation, an introduction to a vitalizing dance form. She teaches at the University of Richmond and leads workshops in the US, internationally, and online. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you for having me, Emmy.
Oh, it's a blessing to have you with us, and I'm super, super excited to be learning from you today.
Now, I'm so looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. Thank you. Now, since my podcast is called Sacred Feminine Power, I love to start by asking my guests, what does sacred feminine power mean to you personally?
Yeah. I'd say it. My response is that it's all about embodiment. It's about knowing and following the inner intelligence of the body. I mean, really being in touch with our deepest, broadest parts of ourselves, trusting and allowing with discernment, you know, all of the information that comes from being in touch with our body. And then I guess I'd add just being in flow. So in many ways, all of that is, for me, how I might even define embodiment, which I think is not an easy state or relationship to achieve. So that's my response to your question.
No, I love that, Cheryl, and it speaks very strongly to me as well. I mean, I lived most of my life really quite disconnected from my body, and it was only once I really consciously started to work with my body and listen to the nuances that my body was communicating to me that massive shifts started to take place. So I really, really appreciate the way you described that. I'm wondering if you could share a challenge that you have faced on your path that's really helped you to activate sacred feminine power within you and on your path.
Yeah. So right before entering high school, there was a requirement that, you know, everybody gets a physical exam. And in the course of my exam, the doctor discovered I have a curved spine, and he said, it's likely going to get worse. You're going to be in pain for life. And you might have to wear a cast or a brace. And that was exactly what I did not want to hear. I mean, here I am about to go into, like, you know, big time high school. And I might have to wear one of these contraptions. So I made it a point to wear an invisible brace. So I went through my high school years kind of limiting the range of my motion. And I did that partly also because he said, you know, if things got any worse, you would have to wear this. So I'm like, let me just put it on my own without having a visible one. And you know, he also said, and no gym, no dance, no activity. So I was also prohibited from doing those activities. So when I got to college on a whim and against the recommendation of my doctor, I ended up taking a class in movement improvisation. And that just basically blasted my world open. So one, my pain, which had been increasing throughout high school, started going down. Two, I started getting much more in touch with my feelings and my sensations of my body. And I started moving in ways I did not know I was capable of. And then I also noticed the quality of my thoughts started changing. So it was pretty groundbreaking. And because of that, I basically devoted the majority of my life to continuing this exploration and continuing this relationship with body. So not only with my body, but I found out that the more one gets to know one's personal body, the more in touch you are with not only other bodies, but even, you know, a type of universal consciousness. So it was pretty amazing.
Wow, that is powerful. Thank you so much for sharing about that story. And I know you've just provided medicine to a lot of our listeners as well. How beautiful that you went against your doctor's advice and through moving then started to heal at a deep, deep level. That's really beautiful. What would you say, I mean, you've already alluded to this in many ways, but what would you say was the divine meaning or the hidden blessing in the challenge now that you're on the other side of it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that, I mean, culturally, you know, the culture frequently says, don't listen to your body, and your body is not to be trusted. And certainly that's what the doctor had reinforced. And I went the opposite direction, right? So I'm listening to my body. So the gift is that when you really spend time, as I was doing, really spending time both in movement, but also stillness and a meditative awareness, there is so much information and so much wisdom and so much freedom that comes in. And it's not necessarily an easy path, because there's times that you have to go through some pain, but it's well worth it when you get to the other side. And I'm well on the other side and reaping many of the benefits and then sharing them with others, both through the healing work, you know, the energy healing work I do, through my books, sharing the information, and then through my workshops. So for me, it's been the gift that keeps on giving.
Beautiful. I love that. And you're so very right in saying that the doctor told you that the body can't be trusted. And I think generally that is the message we get, especially from the Western medical system and the pharmaceutical system. And our bodies have so much innate intelligence, and they are capable of healing so much when we give them the time and the space to do so, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, the pharmaceutical industry plays into our distaste for pain. And, you know, I don't like pain any more than anybody else. So, but what they propose is like quickly mask it, quickly get rid of the pain. And what I've discovered is, no, find out what this pain is about. This is the body telling you something. And maybe it's telling you, you know, that the shoes that you've been wearing are not giving you good support. Or maybe the pain is telling you it's time to investigate your relationship with your mom. Or maybe the pain is telling you time to change your diet. But if you just quickly take the pill and like, oh, good, my pain is gone, the cause isn't gone. Mm-hmm. And either it's there and kind of quietly doing its damage, or it moves into another part of the body. Because ultimately, the body wants to be heard, and it will find its way. And, you know, if it gets ignored for too long, then it says, okay, we really need to up the volume of our voice here. So let's just kind of slam Cheryl on her back so she can really hear us. And now she's in bed and she can't do all her regular things. And she'll hear me now. Hmm. Maybe. Maybe she'll hear, you know, because we can be pretty obstinate.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And I'm not promoting, you know, like just withstand pain and be, you know, macho about it. No, learn from it. And then, you know, as needed, take, let's say, pain medications. Yes. Or do whatever else. It might be some type of physical therapy.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Cheryl, in the introduction, when I spoke about you, I talked about your most recent book, Ecosomatics, Embodiment Practices for a World in Search of Healing. And that title in itself is just so beautiful. And I was wondering if you could share a little bit more about what ecosomatics means as a concept.
Yeah, so ecosomatics is drawn from two words. One is ecology and ecosystem. So it's what recognizes that what happens in the forest connects to what happens in the ocean, or what happens in the ocean is connected to what happens in the mountains. So it's all those ecosystems. Connected to, here's the other part of the word, somatics. And somatics is a field that looks at the subjective experience of the body. So typically, we're taught about the objective experience of the body. So we go through, let's say, a biology or anatomy class, and we look at the pictures of body. And it's a generic body. And we're told that, you know, the body has X amount of cells and blood flows this way and that way. And the temperature of the body is X. But the subjective or somatic experience of the body is when we say, gee, it's really cold in this room. But then when we look at the thermostat, it shows that the temperature, at least in degrees, shows that it's, let's say it's like 85 degrees, and yet, which should be not only warm enough, but maybe even hot for some people, and yet your body's feeling cold. So the somatic approach says, do not discount, honor the information that's coming from your own personal experience. So in ecosomatics, you're bringing these two together. So essentially, it's saying, we are nature connected to so-called outside nature. And so all these ecosystems, the ecosystem of our body is tied to the ecosystem of the body of the earth. And one of my premises in my book is that I've been saying, well, if we can get more embodied in our personal body and or more embodied with the planet body, healing on all levels goes up. And that's largely, you know, what I'm looking for is reducing the suffering of people, reducing the suffering of animals, plants, soil, oceans, all of the above. And, you know, right now we're undergoing a bit of climate crisis. And I'm hoping that if we get more embodied, that the harm that is currently underway can be lessened, and that we're also moving into kind of a better place, even though I think there's going to be great difficulty for very many people. But I think if we get in touch that much more with self and with the sacred feminine, which I think is what's being called for right now, then we are playing a vital role in the current time that we're in.
Yeah, that is super, super powerful. I love how you phrase that. And again, resonating very strongly with everything that you're saying. And the idea of us, when we learn to connect with our bodies at a deep, deep level and really embody the wisdom that our bodies are imparting, we can actually play a role in the healing of our planet as well. That is such a beautiful and powerful idea.
Yeah. And you know, among qualities within the sacred feminine is the intuition. And I talk about that in the Ecosomatics book. But the birth of this book was also born from a huge intuitive hit. I mean, I was busy writing a poetry book, and I got this major sensation, and intuition hits me on several ways, you know. So sometimes it's a body sense, and sometimes it's image, sometimes it's voice. And this one kind of hit me on all of the above. And it basically said, here's this book and you need to write it. And I'm like, well, can't you tell I'm busy. I'm like a little occupied here. Mm-hmm. And yet I've learned that when you get like a powerful hit like that, you really got to follow through on it. And I haven't experienced what happens if you don't. I've heard stories from other people who, when they don't, things then kind of go awry. So it's like, okay, let me put this poetry manuscript aside and let me start devoting my time to working on this book. And it's been the whole process. I mean, from the writing of it to finding a publisher to having conversations with people about the book since it's been out has been very rewarding, because it's really resonating with a lot of people in this kind of frightening period we're in. And it seems like what I'm offering is empowerment, reduction of suffering, and I'd even say hope, and then the power of love, because I think, and when I say love, I don't mean kind of a saccharine understanding of love, an immature understanding of love. I mean really resonating with another and really respecting the life force in another and whoever the other may be, whether it's another person or a plant or an ocean. And just feeling like we can be in connection with this other. And this other is also oneself. So getting back to the more you become embodied, the more you find out that everything is connected. Everything is connected.
I've got the biggest smile on my face listening to you, Cheryl. That is so beautiful. And I think what you're also saying with the way you're describing things right now is that we all really do have the ability to heal ourselves, isn't it?
We do have that ability. I mean, we've got that inner intelligence. And it's not to say like, get rid of doctors, get rid of, you just kind of, you know, lock the door and work on yourself. I mean, you can go far with that, but there's times that you need the expertise of another, whether it's a energy healer or a surgeon. You know, I always say it's a both. You do both, and certainly depending on what's going on. But what's typically happened in Western culture is that we've been told, don't rely on yourself. Go straight to the doctor, go straight to an outside authority, and don't trust yourself. And it's like, it's not an either or. It's a both. And yeah, it's a both.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And I think what we've seen, especially in the last 3.5 years or so, is how easily we can be manipulated through fear to not trust our bodies and to accept all kinds of crazy solutions, external solutions, from injections onwards, to try and make ourselves, well, feel better, but also become immune to external threats or so-called external threats. And I know I'm being a little bit controversial here, but I'm wondering if you would want to comment on that a little bit as well.
On the external threats or what?
In terms of like, I think my question would be around through embodiment, how can we, what is the best way for us to really counter the fear and the fear mongering, I would say, that is so rampant on our planet, and really learn to trust our bodies no matter what.
Right. So, you know, fear is a way that others try to control us. And, you know, fear is a pretty primal response. And certainly religions in particular are saying, do not trust the body either, because it's the site of all sorts of sinful things. Mm. So further reason why we should not be listening to our bodies. But, you know, something as simple as, and invite listeners to do this very thing. Just Just listen quietly. Take a deep breath. Notice where the breath is in your body. Right now, I'm experiencing it not only at the side of my lungs, but also in my lower torso. And just in this, 10, 20 second moment, my guess is that everybody who's listening just felt a little more calm. And really that, that's kind of like, you can call that step one to embodiment. It's just kind of be still and listen. And you can do it through stillness or you can do it through movement. Certainly that's what, yoga can be about, or any of the movement arts is kind of stir the body into motion. But there's got to be, in either of these methods, a witness, and you are witnessing your body. You're watching what's taking place. And what's taking place might be all sorts of commentary, criticism. I mean, gosh, women in particular have been taught to be very critical of themselves. They're too fat, they're too skinny, they're too tall, they're too short. I mean, we're just never good enough as is. And yet, when you start on the road of embodiment, you're also on the road of self-acceptance. And then self-acceptance is like this huge sigh of relief that you're realizing, and not just a mental notion, but a physical sensation, that you're okay as you are. You're okay with all your imperfections. You're okay as you are. Those imperfections, maybe you can work on them, maybe you don't work on them. In many ways, it doesn't matter. But getting to the place where you're okay exactly as you are. And it doesn't mean, take no action about anything thereafter. No, you can. But you're coming not from a place of fear, not from a place of lack, but from a place of joy or curiosity or desire for improvement for the sake of improvement. I mean, I think of it frequently for me. It's often curiosity or this inner force that's just saying, this way, let's check this direction out. So I guess ultimately that is a kind of curiosity. But even to be able to hear that or to feel that is quite extraordinary. And once you're on the path of listening, somatic listening, ecosomatic listening, the intelligence that starts coming kind of allows you to mitigate whatever are the external factors that are saying, oh no, don't do that, don't go there, oh no, and whatever are the reasons and the way that, the fear gets compounded. And some cultures are way worse than others. I mean, I had a student from Afghanistan, and in mid right before going to high school, her high school was bombed by the Taliban, who believed that girls should not be educated, and she spent years in hiding in her house, and her father and mother would give her books, but quietly, and somehow she found a way to move to the U.S. She found a high school in Pennsylvania, completed her high school there, came to the university where I was teaching. She signed up for my dance class. She was not allowed to dance in her home country, totally forbidden. And she connects with it, and she realizes everything that I've been talking about in terms of the gifts of embodiment. And she had decided then she wanted to be a doctor. But then she also shifted so that she ended up doing international relations with a focus on women's studies, and ended up getting a full scholarship to Oxford University in England. So she was a huge success story of a culture that said, no, no, no. I mean, do not trust your body. Do not listen to your body at all. Do not even educate yourself. And defied the odds and went literally to the top of her class and is an inspiration to so many people who know her. I mean, that took a lot of courage, a lot of courage. So, you know, I bow down to her. I applaud her regularly. So, yeah, I mean, if there's fear, or honor the resistance, but recognize that it's likely another trying to control you. And for whose benefit? Typically, because they want to stay in control. So the question would be, where is there benefit for oneself to follow this line of behavior? I mean, it's a good question, because I think things are not easily black and white. You can't just answer questions very simply. Like, I can't say never follow outside advice. No, sometimes that's really valuable advice. Nor would I say always follow, you know, the inner wisdom. No, because sometimes, you know, the wisdom comes in symbolic language and you might misinterpret it. So, you know, just don't quickly say yes to what's coming up from your interior wisdom. Look at it, you know, listen. And when I say listen, listening with all your senses, with discernment. So yes, welcome acceptance. So practice acceptance, but also keep that critical eye available. So here we go again, it's the both. And typically it's considered, you know, it's the masculine and the feminine energy. It's the yin and the yang. You've got to have both. So that would be, in my mind, the definition of wisdom, not in either or, but in both.
Beautiful. Thank you. You have shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom there, Cheryl. I could dive into all of them and talk to you for hours. But I'm sure our listeners by now are just dying to know how to get hold of your book and how to find out more about you, Cheryl. So would you please share the easiest way to connect with you and also where to get your book?
Yeah. So I have a website, CherylPallant.com. And you could spend time just kind of looking around there. You'll see my various books. And it's nonfiction and also poetry, and find out about my workshops. So that would be a great place. I don't know where listeners are. So you can go to, I'm a big supporter of independent bookstores. So you can go to your local bookstore and say, hey, I want this book. And they could probably easily get it within a few days. Or you can go to, you know, a major site like Amazon.com, and they've got my books as well. So my books are pretty easy to find. And I'd say I love when people reach out to me and email me, which you can do through my website, and just say, hey, read your book, or hey, I've got a question about X, or, you know, asking something about my workshops. And my workshops, some of them are online and some of them are in person. So see what fits where you are in the world and where you are in your life.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Cheryl. And I understand that you've got a gift for our listeners as well.
I do have a gift for listeners. So if you reach out to me and say that you've been listening to this podcast, I will send you, so email me, and then I will send you 5 somatic writing prompts. So these would be prompts to get you not only writing, but questioning and being in touch with your body. So it's kind of like a way to really start listening to yourself. And I'll give you, you know, you can go to my website easily, or I'll give you my email associated with my website. So it's Cheryl@CherylPallant.com. So I'll give the spelling of my first name is Cheryl. The spelling of my last name is P like Peter, Allant like Tom. So that would be a great way to reach out to me. And yes, you'll get these writing prompts promptly.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Cheryl. Really, really appreciate you and all that you do. You are really making a difference in the world, and the work that you do is so, so very important, especially in these times of transition that we are going through. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I mean, thank you for the work that you do in raising feminine awareness and feminine consciousness, which is what is needed right now. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Beautiful. Now, everybody, just for a moment, let's focus our intention and our awareness on this really inspiring energy that's been activated. And imagine sending it to everyone and everything on our planet to remember that we are all truly one. And that the more of us have the courage to step into our sacred feminine power and really truly listen to our bodies, the more quickly our planet will also ascend and heal. Thank you so much for listening.